Hi! Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today. Hey, everybody. We Mentor, Inc. is an innovative mentoring community. It's a company I founded in 1992 to really help people break through to new dimensions so they can understand how to be a competent business owner, how to innovate in a very authentic way, true to themselves, in a way to grow in your leadership. And also, when we put ourselves out there in huge ways, like Carolyn Porter has done, and she's here today for part three of her incredible journey. And it's an entrepreneur's story. And these kind of stories, when you follow your passion, because you feel like you're the conduit messenger, it's being channeled through you, that you need to bring this out into the world, and we don't always understand it, but we need to follow it. It's a difficult journey that has a lot of ups and downs, peaks and valleys. And how do you sustain momentum? How do you be your own advocate? How do you kind of harness the tenacity it takes to really put something worthwhile out in the world that you can't exactly control yourself because you're just figuring it out as you go? Well, Carolyn has some special insights. The reason that this story is really powerful is because it's an entrepreneur's story of all the characteristics that are needed to really do something amazing in the world. It's a story about uncovering a mystery of someone that you discovered while you were working on something else. Mm-hmm. And it's also a story of when you're in an industry for a long period of time and you really uncover, like you really get into it and you're doing it for a long time, and you find something that you can't quite let go of, which is what Carolyn did as a graphic designer, but also as a
type designer.
There we go, type designer. So you say graphic designer and a type designer?
Yep.
That's how you describe yourself. Okay, so let's refresh our memories. But before we do, so I've been working with entrepreneurs a long time. I never stop focusing on the entrepreneurial journey and helping leaders succeed in the venture that they've created. I never stop supporting them in growing as an important leader that is something valuable to bring to our society. So if you need some help along the journey, you don't need to go it alone. It takes a lot to go to all these different organizations to figure out, you know, which for networking and what are for business building. And well, We Mentor, Inc., I do it all. You're with supportive people. You're in small groups. We dig in for a year at a time and really take a look at how you're leading and how you're innovating, what's working, and get rid of what doesn't work, and really hone in so that you can do your work in a really great way and feel good about it. There's no reason why you can't feel good as a leader.
I think it's amazing that you've been doing this since 1992. If you think of just all the technology and just all the changes in the world in that time.
Yeah.
So just have you worked with some of the same clients that entire time?
No, because it's a year program and I really dig in deep.
Okay.
So I don't have like a ton of clients every year. Okay. I used to have up to 100 a year.
Oh, wow.
That I would work with. And it just was kind of like out of control. And I didn't want to do that. And a lot of people didn't make it because I was working with all startups.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that I would hone in on startups, but I needed to do it in a contained way. And so that's when an adjunct professorship position came available at St. Mary's University. And so I was an adjunct, and they hired me because I had a curriculum that I'd been working on a long time.
Yep.
So I was there for 13 years. And then The St. Catharines University had a position for part-time faculty, and they wanted me to develop their entrepreneurship program and lots of different activities with St. Thomas. We had elevator pitch competitions. And
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, and so I developed my curriculum there and taught their women's program that every KD goes through when they, I think that's kind of a cool thing at a private university is sometimes they have things that like everyone takes this, I forgot the name of the class, but it's a class for women about women's history. Mm-hmm. And so whenever you talk to a KD, that's their connection, mm-hmm. is they all took that same class.
Got it.
And it's really kind of a fantastic understanding that you have of each other. Like, that's where you connect and in a sisterhood.
It would be so amazing to follow up if there's any – I don't even know if this is possible, but some of the seeds that you may have planted in those classes to see what those KDs are doing as far as leadership and innovation and inventing things.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to follow up. And it's interesting because I continued working with clients, mm-hmm. But I started focusing more on people who were beyond the three-year mark.
Okay.
So you're right. A lot has changed. And I think that's why I keep writing new curriculum, because it gives me an opportunity to integrate and say, you know what? We need, like I went through yoga teacher training and I said, entrepreneurs aren't taking very good care of themselves. They need to do more meditating. And the yoga practice has, you know, it been normalized mm-hmm. Because it's so, there's so many studies coming out of how good it is mm-hmm. to, as a way to age. Mm-hmm. It's good for your brain and it's good to be able to move your body in certain and different ways. And so I've studied a lot of mindfulness yoga and mm-hmm. integrated that in the curriculum so that we practice that, you know, we do some work on ourselves, then we mm-hmm. do practice the yoga to ground it.
I can see where that would be really powerful for entrepreneurs because it's so easy to put your client first, your client needs first, and not take care of what you as the entrepreneur need to take care of yourself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And you're really concerned about a cash flow all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, always where what's coming in, what's going out, you know, what's managing this. Right. It's so easy to like get to spend too much money. And there's also a lot of fear mongers out there who, you know, they can just smell when you're feeling a little vulnerable and they exploit you, especially entrepreneurs, because they're so, they don't know what they're doing. You know, we're just trying things out. But that's where we need more grounding. Mm-hmm. And because the answers are in yourself. Mm-hmm. They need to be pulled out.
And that's what life is too. It's a lot of just figuring these things out.
Yeah, as you go along and figuring out
not
how
just
much
business,
do I,
but life.
Yeah. Yeah. How much do I need to plan? And so tell us more about your journey. And I would like to read a little bit again from your book.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Marcel's Letters. Seeking inspiration for a new font design in an antique store in a small town, Stillwater, Minnesota, graphic designer Carolyn Porter stumbled across some old letters and was immediately drawn to the beautifully expressive pen and ink handwriting. She could not read the letters. They were in French, but she noticed they had been signed by a man named Marcel and mailed from Berlin to France during the middle of World War II. As Carolyn grappled with designing the font, she decided to have one of Marcel's letters translated. Reading words of love combined with testimony of survival inside a German labor camp transformed Carolyn's curiosity into an obsession, and she sought to find out why the letter writer, Marcel Housset, had been in Berlin, how his letters came to be for sale in a store halfway around the world, and most importantly, whether he returned to his beloved wife and daughters after the war. Marcel's letter is the incredible story of Carolyn's increasingly desperate search to find answers to the mystery of one man's fate, answers that would come from Germany, France, and the United States. Simultaneously, she would continue to work on what would become the acclaimed P22 Marcel script font, immortalizing the man and his letters that waited years to be reunited with his family. So in the show notes, I'll have P22 Marcel script font, a link so that,
love that. So anyone, people can see it.
Yes. Yeah. It's beautiful. And they can also order it. You can pay and have your own font.
You can use it on your computer.
That's right. Yeah. So we've talked about, you know, the amazing journey and some of the characteristics, as an entrepreneur, that we actually take for granted. And we also receive a lot of criticism for. And you notice that in how some people review your book or how people respond to new ideas or our passion. And I think there's a difference between, I even have people take an assessment, whether they're a workaholic or not, mm-hmm. because entrepreneurs are always accused of being so obsessed that they lose track of their lives.
Right. I can see where that happens. Whether an entrepreneur is, you know, an accountant or an inventor or a designer or whatever.
Yeah. And so there's a fine line between trying to get out of your life by being obsessed with, you know, working so much that you disconnect from the people and the relationships mm-hmm. in your life, to being passionate about an idea where you take, you keep working at it with your, like you did with your tenacity,
yep.
but you're not losing yourself mm-hmm. in the journey.
Although in the book,
You did see a little bit of that.
I mean,
you're human.
As I just became more and more obsessed with finding out what happened to Marcel,
yeah,
I did cross that line.
Yeah.
And it did get to a point where it was not healthy for me. It wasn't healthy for my husband. But I kept on believing I was so close to finding the answer that I just nothing else mattered for a while. work for clients or sleep or, you know, the search for answers was the biggest thing, and it wasn't healthy, but
how did you turn it around? Because you didn't lose your marriage.
No, Aaron is extraordinary, but ultimately I did find answers. I mean, I think a scarier question is what would have happened if I hadn't found the answer.
So the answers came right in time. Like, okay, I'm about to go over the edge.
You know, and Aaron is fantastic in that he can also deal with these things with more humor than I can.
Okay.
You know.
So he found a way to work with you through this.
Yeah. You know, and he also just knew I needed to see it through to find the answer.
Yeah. And that this wasn't going to be your whole life.
Right. Right.
Because where are you at now with the aspect of your passion?
So the book has been out for about 7 months. Mm-hmm. At this point, it's considered an old book, which is crazy in the world of publishing.
Even in its third printing?
Right, right.
Yeah, okay.
I have a bunch of promotional events lined up through 2018. But at this point, I'm not searching for other information about Marcel. I don't feel there's more to write about his story. So at this point, it is supporting getting the story out there and telling people about Marcel and telling people about French forced labor during World War II and about typography. But at this point, I'm sleeping at night.
Okay, yeah.
I'm trying to reclaim what life was like before this crazy obsession took hold.
Okay.
That's one of my resolutions for 2018, actually.
Okay. Well, and that's the little bit of the trade-off, too, is if you're a conduit for this big, vessel that's coming through you to get out in the world.
Right.
I mean, I don't think you would have finished it if you hadn't had some degree of obsession.
Right, right.
But because there was like an ending.
Right. Which I always thought was just right around the corner.
Which every entrepreneur does in every venture right. they start or any product or service they're getting out to the market. You always underestimate how long it takes
right.
and how much it's going to cost.
But maybe ultimately that's the path to success, because if you knew how long it would take or what toll it would take or how much money it would take.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So maybe you just have to be tenaciously optimistic and believe you are so close to whatever that goal is,
yeah.
that's the only way it's possible.
Yeah. It reminds me of John Munger, who is the founder of the Lopit Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
And in Worth Park, I mean, they've created like a huge new building for athletes to learn cross-country skiing and hiking and all kinds of different athletic adventures. So people can stay connected with nature. And so he was on the show, one of our first year. His family, he and his wife and kids run like insane amounts and bike insane amounts. And, you know, they're just very athletic.
Sure.
And I said, well, where did you learn that? And he said to go long distances, like, you know, how did you build that? You know, how does that become part of you? Because I, you know, there's a certain mile marker where I'm like, okay, I'm turning back.
Right. Like, a half mile, a quarter mile.
Right. Yeah. But do cross country right. runs? I mean, how do you build up to that?
Right. Right.
He said that he would go biking with his dad and they would like climb these hills on the bike. And, yeah. and every time he would say, Dad, how much farther? And his dad would say, we just need to get up to this hill. And it's probably right down the hill. They would mm-hmm. go down the hill. Then they would start the next one. Yeah. And so, you know, this is how he got through like, you know, 25, 30 mm-hmm. miles, you know, his dad mm-hmm. just kept saying it's over the next hill.
Right. I mean, that makes so much sense, because if you say we're going to go for a 25-mile bike and we're going to go up 12 huge hills, you wouldn't start.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when we talk about like momentum, mm-hmm. but you had like pretty much like this, you know, like you needed to find certain information. And so you were on the hunt find this.
Right. I had to, when I started the search, I knew Marcel's name. I knew the first names of his two daughters. I had an address in France, an address of a labor camp in Berlin. But I didn't even know, for example, his wife's name, because he only ever called her my darling. So I had very few puzzle pieces to begin with,
yeah.
you know, and I had no sense of what is this final puzzle picture going to look like.
Yeah.
So it was just piecing together one puzzle piece at a time.
Yeah. And somehow you kept going.
Right. I'd find one more and then I'd find one more and then
right.
find
just
one more.
Right. Just one more.
Right. But there were times when, for example, just so frustrated and was given the opportunity to work on a big project, and that consumed all my time.
You took a breather from the project with some other project.
Right. But it was replacing one all-consuming project with another all-consuming project, but it was still a way to take a break from the search.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like we took a break from two podcasts after 104 episodes straight.
You need to do that.
You know, it was like, okay, what are we doing here? I mean, I'm starting to feel a little insane.
Well, 100 episodes is fantastic. Congratulations to you,
thanks. Yeah. I told Mike, he's laughing, that next time, instead of celebrating with just a little half a glass of beer, you know, he and his wife, Sylvie, and myself, cling, yay, we did it. Yeah, we're going to have a big blowout party for the 150th.
As you should. Yes, as you should.
Yeah, so that may be coming later this year. Beautiful. Okay. The other thought that I had with entrepreneurship is that is kind of a misunderstood concept, or it can be frustrating, is we end up being like our own advocate all the time.
You have to be, because there is nobody else that is going to watch out for you like you're going to watch out for yourself.
And for a long time, I said, oh, somebody else can carry this forward. Somebody else is going to come out with this or that product or whatever. No, I have
right.
to do it. I need to do it. This is my little contribution into the world, and I really just need to stay focused on doing it.
But that also is what makes you a thought leader in the industry, right? If you let somebody else do it, then they would take that title.
Yeah, right. Like with this podcast, I feel like it was like unfinished business from when I started my career.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And that I'm like, you know, this last phase of my career, I mean, I'm not getting younger. You know, I can see that, you know, at my time frame here is getting shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got so much more I want to do, and I have so many more entrepreneurs I want to talk to and help. And,
and this is a great way to do it, to build this library of conversations.
Yeah. So people can click in for different topics mm-hmm. at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to go back and listen to the conversation you had with the gentleman about the Lopit. Is that on the archive?
Oh, John Munger.
Is that?
Yeah.
On the archive?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'll plunk in his name. Yeah. Munger. Yeah. And a lot of listeners, too, I think would be interested because they now have a huge new building.
Interesting.
In Worth Parkway. In Minneapolis.
We did the Luminary Lopit 1 year.
Okay.
Have you done that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I did that
so
2 years ago.
So for your listeners in warmer climates, one of the lakes that is
once they freeze over,
they just have this beautiful walking path illuminated by ice lanterns, and it's a couple mile walk, I think, and they have little
it's around hot Lake of the Isles
and fire dancers.
Lake of the Isles, yeah.
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 Really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And they've got, it's kind of a big party area too.
Right.
So they got food and drinks and it's at night.
Right. And it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
One of those crazy things that Minnesotans do.
Yeah. And you get to walk on a frozen lake, and because we're in the state of 10,000 lakes. So we know how to do lakes.
Right. Dress in layers.
Year round. Yeah. Especially this year.
Many right. layers.
Right. Because it's at the end of the month. Great. All right. What else would you like to add to our conversation here regarding the next stage of your journey for 2018? It sounds like you've got some personal goals to kind of make sure that your life is kind of, and I don't really use balance. I just use my internal self. Like I can tell mentally when I'm just a little off, or if I'm not, you know, I'm tweaking.
Mm-hmm.
My physical selves, you know, if I don't get enough exercise, you know, I just try to do something every day to keep movement and meditation in my life and that kind of thing. What are you kind of doing to show some self-compassion?
I'm trying to be a better sleeper.
Yeah.
Because I'm the kind of person where I will wake up in the middle of the night and my brain will be churning either on a graphic design problem, or when I was searching for answers, I would wake up in the middle of the night making a mental list of, I need to look in this archive or write a letter to this organization. So it may sound strange to have be a better sleeper being my goal, but it is, sleep is pretty fundamental to overall health.
For sure. I wouldn't though. There's also, so here's my cautionary tale mm-hmm. about all of this is when you're setting a new goal about sleep, if you're in tune with your natural biorhythms, if your creative mind goes to work when you sleep
mm-hmm.
and you wake up, so do you do the mental, how do you do the mental notes? I mean, do they stay in your mind while you're sleeping?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Or do you get up and write them down?
When I was working on this project, I would get up.
Okay.
But if it's a client.
And would it be hours at a time?
Hours at a time, yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe if your mind wakes you up because it's got a lot on it, well, with writing, you can't, writing is a its own beast because you can't, like, you can't put it down on a list and, like, retrieve it easily.
Right.
But if it's like other projects, you know, if you write the list down, then you can allow your brain to relax, to not try to keep that. And then maybe you can, so I would play around with that.
Yeah.
So that you're not trying to, like, change a habit that, you know, doesn't really, you know, forces your body into a way that's never wired that way.
So I have a little notepad next to the bed. And if I wake up in the middle of the night, just write the things down and then kind of then they're recorded so that my brain can let it go.
Here's my mentoring tip for you.
Please share.
Yes. I think, why don't you make it like something fun that you can play with? So you experiment with until you find a method that works. That may be your goal this year. So it doesn't feel forced.
Yep.
It doesn't feel like I have to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something that you can play around with to see if there's a better way in which you can get your sleep so that you're feeling better during the day.
Yep. I will give that some thought, probably tonight at 2 a.m.
Okay, this is a good way to end the show. All right. Thank you so much for being here. I just think
thank you for having me.
Such a gem of a person. Oh, I just really appreciate the journey. I love your book.
Thank you.
I hope at some point there's something else that you would like to write about because I think you're just a fantastic writer.
Thank you. If the universe wants to use me as a conduit for something else, at that point, I'll know. And if I'm ready to jump in, I'll jump in with both feet. There isn't that project right now, but I'm open to it if that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah. Beautiful. Wonderful. All right. Thanks, Mike Cabea, engineer, photographer, brother from another mother. No phone calls interrupting us with the ending of this show.
All right. See everybody next week.